Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
You're in the madhouse now.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members.
VIP stands for very important people, and their small monthly contributions ensure that this podcast remains free for all of you.
If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
I sure do thank you for your support. Now, here's your show.
It's time once again for Dueling Reviews. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to this podcast where two guys sit down with one comic. We go into it in detail. I'm Steven Schleicher. Over there is Matthew Peterson. And this week, we're taking a look at Red Sonja 1973. Is this like a accurate canonical numbering of Red Sonja comics since her debut in?
No.
Okay.
It is not number 1,973. That's crazy talk.
Are we sure?
I am quite sure, because there were long periods of time where Red Sonja wasn't being published at all.
Yeah.
I mean, Dynamite would have to be put, I know they put out a lot, but Dynamite would have to be putting out like literally 100 Red Sonja titles a month for that to be the case.
Well, they put out at least three or four.
Yeah, but I mean,
and then the Marvel stuff and the DC stuff. And
there are only like 60 issues of Red Sonja from Marvel, okay. Even if you take into account multiple volumes. I think there's three volumes of Red Sonja from Marvel.
I don't know. I think I've got them somewhere in a oversized.
However, 1973 is the year that Red Sonja debuted from Marvel.
Mm-hmm. Yep. In Conan the Barbarian, number 23. Roy Thomas and Barry Windsor-Smith doing that.
Yep.
And interestingly, as we look at Red Sonja 1973, Roy Thomas is doing one of the stories in this piece, as are Cullen Bunn and Eric Troutman, Luke Lieberman, Gail Simone, and a cast of talented artists.
Yep.
Too many
David
to name.
David Walker.
Too many to name for me to pronounce them all correctly.
I bet I could do it.
No, that's all right.
There's Ivan Rodriguez and Rich Buckler and Rod Rodolfo and Kubar Ball and Bilkis Evely and Jonathan Lau and A Larger World Studios.
Well, don't forget Ivan Nunez.
Colors.
Yeah. So a whole bunch of people involved in this. This is a big 48-page special, $7.99. Yeah. So if you're going to go out and buy this, expect to pay a little bit more than you normally would. But you're going to get a lot of stories in here. I mean, we have, what is it, five different stories, six different stories in this book?
I think six. Let's see. Yeah, there's the one with the thing, and then there's the troll. And then
no, it doesn't actually have the thing in it.
Then there's the one with the tree.
Don't confuse people that the thing is in this, because this is
the one with
not
a
Marvel.
It's not the thing.
Yeah, so the first story, let's see, is called The Raiding Party, and it is Sonja jumping upon a raiding party on the road back to a Hyboria.
Yes, Hyboria.
And there's a pretty cool fight.
Yes, and I really enjoy the whole setup of that fight, because when it comes to Red Sonja fights, I'm now conditioned after years of Rodrigo to look at these in terms of Dungeons and Dragons fights. And I'm looking at this fight and I'm like, yeah, she could, if she has multiple turns or multiple attacks per turn, she could totally do this. That's what makes it realistic for me, is will it fit?
Does it play like Matthew plays a character in Dungeons and Dragons? Well, she actually did jump up on a wagon.
She did.
Without falling.
This actually plays like what I want my stories to be like.
Well, okay.
Before I...
You do realize that Eric Troutman is not sitting there saying, okay, next she's going to take a swing at this guy. I better roll for initiative and find out what order these guys are going to do.
She botches her attack, and he gets an attack of opportunity, which knocks her to the ground. And then his minions attack, but then he has a critical miss, and she gets a critical hit, see, and chops off his arms.
No.
Is that a spoiler?
No, not in this book. Turns out it's not gold or silver or stacks of Benjamins that Red Sonja is after. It is actually slaves.
Yes.
That she is freeing. And these women decide that they want to go fight with her. But she's like, nay, I must go and fight another day.
Fight. I will fight and lead them away. You head home to your homelands.
The next story, For Whom the Bell Tolls. Now, this is the Roy Thomas story.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool.
Featuring the old school Marvel style bikini boots and Barry Windsor Smith strange straps around the arms.
And if you remember, even the troll itself looks a little bit more like frost giants that we would have seen during Roy Thomas's run and everything.
I think the artists are making a conscious attempt to not necessarily emulate, but to remind us of the Barry Smith art from those early days of Red Sonja and Conan.
This one was a pretty good tale. She gets in a fight. Some guy wants to have sex with her in a bar, and she kicks his butt and rides off. And she's like, okay, so this guy,
kicks him.
She kicks him. This guy's going to try to come after me. I'll wait right here by this bridge and take him down. Oh no, a troll.
And the troll's like, I'm going to eat you. And she's like, what about that guy? He's much bigger. And the troll's like, I'm going to eat him.
And she comes back and saves the guy, kills the troll, and the guy still tries to attack her.
Yeah.
And she
kicks him again. Rah, rah, ree. Kick him in the knee.
Yeah. And then story number three
is the
Simple Life. And it is I want to say pre-Red Sonja tale. I mean, it takes place immediately after her family and village have been decimated. And she's picked up by or taken in by some people that live way out in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
An old couple and their really pain in the ass son.
Their idiot son. Now, who drew this one? Because this looks
this
like
this is Rod Rodolfo is who did the art on this one.
Every time I look at Ori the Idiot's Son, I see Bob Layton drawing Rye from Valiant Comics.
Mm.
And that's not a bad thing, actually.
Mm-hmm. Here, the son is just, man, the worst kind of person you could ever see.
He's a big, boastful jerk who wants to...
Well, he's never seen the world, and he wants to put down his parents and everything and every place that he comes from.
He wants to be a big man in the way that only an 18-year-old can want to be a big man.
And so Sonja puts him in his place.
Yes, she also kicks him. Well, in this case,
she kicks punches. She kicks a lot of guys.
I think punches.
I think she grabs and twists.
Either way, it looks incredibly painful, and I don't want to, you know.
My favorite tale in this piece is actually kind of a mystery tale. Mm-hmm. And surprisingly, I mean, I don't know what's surprising. I just was paying attention to who the writers were just before we started after I read it.
Uh-huh.
Gail Simone wrote The Hanging Tree, and it is...
You could tell that was Gail Simone from the dialogue.
Well, again, I don't pay attention to who the writers are on anything. It's just like, hey, Stephen, here's a book we need to review. Okay, I'm going to pick it up, I'm going to read it. And then as I'm reflecting on it, I will go back and look at who wrote the stories, who did the art on that, how did that influence my reactions to that. And in this one, I was like, oh, Red Sonja is about to be hung for killing somebody that she didn't kill. And she's like, well, wait, how did this guy die? The mayor tells the tale, and she figures out who really killed this guy that was being kind to her, and turns the tale in kind of a Twilight Zone-y and more like an Outer Limits crypt vault of horror kind of thing ending.
I would say Crypt of Terror.
Yeah.
You can tell this is a Red Sonja story written by Gail Simone by the moment where she's in mid-combat and somebody says something and she's like, wait, what?
And then flashback it all.
Right. Right there, that's a Gail Simone story. But I like that one. I like the way it plays out. All of these stories showcase different interesting parts of Sonja.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You get that, you know, you get the whole thing where she's respectful of the old people and she's kind of wise. And here she's kind of clever. And in that first story, she's incredibly powerful and takes down like 9 guys and sends them running just because there's people she wants to take care of or something she needs to do. I really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. Arena of Dread puts Red Sonja into the Colosseum. Well, not the Colosseum.
A Colosseum.
But she has to fight to the death. Her and the Nubile Warriors.
the Nubile Barbarians, which is my Natalie Merchant cover band.
The Arena of Dread was an interesting story. I really like the art by Bilquis Evely.
The only complaint that I had about that is it feels like a setup for a miniseries.
I know. And if you look at the very end of that one, I believe it says that they will return.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, I think it's on the very last page, and I think it says Red Sonja and the Nubile Warriors will return.
That's
Let me
nice.
Get down to that page.
I would like to see more of that.
Oh, no, I guess it doesn't. Let's see.
It says, fear not, Red Sonja and the Nubile Barbarians shall return.
Yeah, there you go. Cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then?
Then Silent Running.
Your Larry Hama style Snake Eyes in the Cobra Temple story, which I always love those.
Which is the interesting thing about this one is that it is not a straightforward beginning to end story. It is little vignettes of Red Sonja running and fighting different things, monsters, creatures, other people that want to take her head. Mm-hmm. But they all seemed to me, and again, this is my recollection, to all be kind of little setup stories for old Sonja covers.
Really?
That's how I got it, because you see the very last vignette, or not the second to last vignette, as she's getting home, she kills the Yetis or whatever. To me, it reminds me of Frost Giant covers. But to me, all of these seemed like little setups for covers that we may or may not have seen, or at least things that are in our minds from years past.
That's interesting. I've never actually read any Red Sonja other than, the Marvel Dynamite stuff. So
right. Yeah.
I don't know if the Red Sonja from Howard's work actually resembles this Red Sonja much anyway, so who knows?
No, this is definitely a different... She got some very bushy hair going on in this one. That's
I kind of like
was
that.
It was somewhat of a distraction for a couple of reasons. What the heck was that series? Battle Chasers, exactly.
Yeah.
Reminds me of the Battle Chasers hair.
Red Monica's giant hair.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that. The Joe Majerera giant hair thing. And you see that with... now my brain has stopped working. You see it with Umberto Ramos. You saw it with the guy who used to draw the other thing with the thing and the thing in it. And that thing. Chris Bachalo. You see that as well. So I think it's kind of a specific aesthetic. And it works here the same way that it works in like Sandman and Shade the Changing Man.
Right.
It's kind of an expressionist thing rather than you can't sit there and figure out how they made their hair do that.
Right. There's a lot of moose, a lot of moose involved in this Hyborian age.
You moose and twist,
Yeah. And lots
like
of peanut butter
Ted
too.
Ted Mosby for an hour and a half.
Yeah. Lots of peanut butter. Speaking of, do you know that the Jim Gaffigan show is coming on to TV Land?
And about it?
It's got Ashley Williams in it as his wife.
Ashley has been posting teases of this thing since last fall started rolling it for the pilot. Yes, I definitely know of this. I'm looking forward to it. I saw a preview bit, and it was really funny. It's really interesting to me that in the space of 10 years, she's gone from being the hot manic pixie dream girl to being the hot mom. Because, we all...
10 years.
I know.
How old is she?
33,
I think. Well, see, another 10 years, she'll be the hot grandmother because the average age of grandparents is in their 45.
In another 10 years, we'll be 55, and I'll be totally fine with that.
I won't be.
You will be in 10 years.
No, I'll still be 32.
We were born in 1970. In the year 2025,
you were like born in the last 15 days of 1970.
That's not the point.
That's like showing up to the last 10 minutes of a movie and saying, oh, yeah, that was the best movie ever.
If it makes you any better, I actually count decades from the ones. So I was technically born at the tail end of the 1960s.
There you go.
So when people post only 60s babies will remember this, I'm like, yes, I totally remember that. Ha ha.
So what did you think of this Red Sonja number 1973 from Dynamite Entertainment as an overall?
There are some really great moments in this book.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't any moments that I would categorize as anything less than solid.
Mm.
But I do think that the price point being what it is, I mean, yes, it's a big, giant, I think it's double-sized.
Well, yeah, it's 48 pages.
48 pages. You know, a big, giant celebration book, when you're normally paying $3.99 a month, I think a double-sized book for $7.99 is not bad. For me, jumping into it, having not necessarily – I think I have a grounding in Red Sonja. I think we've covered Red Sonja on this show before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that if I was just John Q. Schmuck and C. walking in off the street, whether that $7.99 price tag would be a huge divergent thing for me or not. Divergent is that movie with the cute girl.
I think for me, I think this is actually a great bargain because you're getting, what are you getting? You're getting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
6 stories.
5.5, 6 stories in this piece. And 6 stories for $8. That's what, $1.50 a piece, something like that, $1.25.
Yeah.
This is actually for someone that wants to say, well, what's this Red Sonja about? What's her deal? I don't want to go out and buy a trade paperback for $19.99. I'd like to experience some Red Sonja from a variety of different perspectives. What's out there? Red Sonja 1973. Yeah, it's $8. It's about half the price of what you're going to pay for a trade paperback. Mm-hmm. But I think this one gives you a very broad overview of what Red Sonja is about and what she can do and some of the creators who have taken her on either now or maybe in the future. And so I think this is really a good, I don't want to say perfect jumping on point, but I think this is a good starting point for people who want to check out Red Sonja.
This is a very good descriptive point. If you're wondering what Red Sonja is about, I think this will give you a good idea across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like the fact that we have a variation in time frames of her life and a variation in how she fights and what she's wearing when she fights. And, you know, there's a whole lot of different angles of it. Obviously, there's the one retro thing that has the throwback to her original steel bikini. But
right.
There's a lot of different time periods. I feel like she has as much diversity in her backstory as Conan and the Shadow or any of the other pulp type characters do, to where you can get away with almost anything, really. I mean, even, you know, you throw magic in there, you can get away with the kind of stories that you can't tell in a Batman comic necessarily.
Yeah. So. I was hoping if there was one thing, I mean, a lot of this seems to be past tales. Mm-hmm. It would have been nice to have had a, because they already have done a Red Sonja past her Queen Sonja run.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to have seen at least a story in later life, as well as maybe one during her Queen Sonja run. But
60-year-old Red Sonja.
Well, they've got that series, or they did that series over at Dynamite not too long ago.
How long does she live? Does she live to be a ripe old age? Or
she's
she die
still horribly alive today. She's one of those that as long as people still talk about her, she still lives.
So what you're saying is 1973 is actually Sonya's chronological age from the Hyborian era.
Well, I think you might want to go back and check your dates and everything.
The Hyborian era
was pretty sure Hyborian age is before Babylon.
Well, you know, 1900 years ago, it would have been like
1900 years ago, there would have been like dinosaurs running around, man.
No. Doc Brown would be around for all of that. Oh, it's the 1950s here.
Yeah. So
you know, like
let's see.
That was the second century.
So Robert E. Howard, who created Conan and who Red Sonja, not this Red Sonja, different spelling of Red Sonja, first appeared in. Robert E. Howard described the Hyborian Age as taking place sometime after the sinking of Atlantis and before the beginning of recorded history. So
10,000 years ago.
Yeah, 10,000 years ago. So add a couple of zeros on there, and that is the actual age of Red Sonja.
No, because Red Sonja has the amazing ability to just sort of pop in and out.
Well, she did pop in and meet Spider-Man at one point.
Yep, she possessed Mary Jane Watson, actually.
Oh, was that what the deal was on that? I never got around to reading
Mary
it.
Jane was actually possessed by the spirit of Red Sonja, and they fought Kulan Goth together. You remember the guy who in the X-Men turned everything in Manhattan into Conan times?
No. See, I didn't read that stuff.
You got to read. That's like
that
the
one
best
good?
X-Men story ever. Yes. All it's right. Basically a Conan story set in sort of kind of modern day Manhattan. And the only person who isn't reverted back to Hyborian Age is Spider-Man.
Oh, cool.
Because Kulan Goth is mad at him. So Spider-Man gets caught in, spoilers, bad things happen to Spider-Man.
Mm.
But you get these medieval Avengers and you get medieval X-Men working all together.
Now, was this before 1602 or is this something that may have...
Yes, this was decades before 1602.
Oh, okay.
This would have been 1984.
They did one recently where there was a whole Spider-Man Red Sonja crossover. This was like after Dynamite took over.
Yeah,
that wouldn't different. Have been in the 1980s.
That's different.
All right, I'll have to go look
that's
that
not
one
the
up.
Same thing. What I'm referring to is the Marvel team-up issue where Spidey teams up with Red Sonja.
Okay, because there is let me find the Spider-Man Red Sonja.
I don't care.
Crossover. let's see. Red Sonja. Let's see if this is the one.
What?
Yeah, this is the one. This is the one from 2008. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man Red Sonja, Volume 1, Number 5 is the one I'm looking at. But, of course, there would have been a whole series. And so this was a Dynamite Marvel work in progress.
I see.
So there you go. Swords versus webs. Can Spider-Man prevent the sinister source or sinister sorcerer from killing the She-Devil with a sword who just happens to be inhabiting the body of Mary Jane? Or is MJ all and all of New York stuck in a Hyborian nightmare? You sure you got your dates right?
Yes, I'm sure.
So what did they do? Just retell this? They just retold this in 2008?
I don't know if they retold it. It may be a follow-up or kind of a thing.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yes. I am offended that you asked.
Well, you know, you just were talking about how you're getting up there in age. And as you get up there in age, you were talking about how you think you were born in 1960.
You know what? I may forget my child's name and how to type, but I will never forget the comics of the 1980s, Mr. Man.
All right. Speaking of comics
in
the 1980s.
That senile old man who goes, Roy Thomas was amazing in All-Star Squadron number 28. It featured Sargon the Sorcerer.
He would come to me at night.
Sargon the Sorcerer.
Gentle caress of comics.
He was powered by the Ruby of Life and he wore it on a turban, which I thought was ridiculous. But that's fine.
All right, let's take a look ahead to next week. Next week, Dark Horse Comics has, what do we have here? Oh, Adventures of Dr. McNinja, trade paperback volume 3.
Ooh.
Here you go. That's a 1999 book.
TV review folder.
We'll put it in a stack. Oh, so if people are wondering, if you don't listen to the Major Spoilers podcast, which yes. I don't know why you wouldn't be, because if you like this kind of conversation, it goes on for an extra hour and a half.
Yeah.
Right? And so if you want to suggest a trade paperback, let us know. podcast@majorspoilers.com. Just send a trade paperback suggestion. I will put it in the stack. And then at least once a month, we will put it up to the poll of the week for you to vote on which trade paperback we will review next on the Major Spoilers podcast. So that is how that works. Archie versus Predator number 4 also comes out next week. ElfQuest Final Quest number 10. Mm-hmm. Fight Club number 2 number 3.
Uh-huh.
Or Fight Club 2 number 3.
Fight Club number 2, number 3, which yes. actually makes it number 5.
Yes. Let's see. Yeah, so a lot of good
Is next week the week that Fables 150 comes out?
Next week, trade paperback volume 22 of Fables comes out from DC Comics.
That's what we need to do for Dueling
But
reviews.
I don't think that that is. Is that?
Yeah, that is. That is Fables 150.
Okay, because it's not listed.
It is the final issue of Fables, but it's also the trade paperback.
Okay, so it's not listed, and this is what previews may want to tweak before next week. Mm-hmm. They may want to let people know that, hey, this is actually Fables 150 final issue. Yeah. The cover at least says 150.
Yeah.
The rest of it does not. So
the final issue, according to Willingham, basically is
a big trade paperback. In fact, this one is at $17.99 if you want to get it. I'm trying to find the exact page count on this.
Wow.
There's 150 pages in this thing.
Because it's the 150th issue.
Oy, that's going to be a long stuff to get through in a single day.
We'll make it work.
Also coming out from DC Comics next week, Aquaman, number 42.
Aquaman?
Batman, 66, number 25.
Is next week S.H.I.E.L.D. number 1 week?
Well, how about we get through the DC first, and then we'll get to Marvel.
I don't want to read about the DC. I want to know about the S.H.I.E.L.D.
Cyborg, number 1, also comes out.
Oh.
You mentioned Fables. Flash, 42. The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest hardcover. That's the adaptation of the books. Grayson number 10. Legends of the Dark Knight. That's Norm Brayfogle hardcover.
Ooh. I like it.
Prez number 2 comes out. Sinestro number 13 arrives, as does Teen Titans number 10. And We Are Robin number 2. Those are just some of the books coming out next week. Not all of them.
We Are Robin.
IDW Publishing has... Edward Scissorhands, number 10. Fly Outbreak, number 4. You know, a lot of people at San Diego Comic-Con earlier this week, they were talking about the new G.I. Joe Cobra, what is it called? Cobra World or something?
World Under Cobra.
Yeah. And everyone was like, oh, Larry Hama's returning to G.I. Joe. It's like, he never left G.I. Joe. He's been writing G.I. Joe over at IDW for the last 20 years.
He's been writing the ongoing series.
Yeah. So a lot of people are just like, Larry Hama's back. I'm like, he never left.
Larry Hama.
Mickey Mouse number 2, Jim and the Holograms number 1, Plugged In Edition. That's a third printing. I don't know what that means.
Plugged In? I think that means that it's electrical.
Well.
No, this sucker's nuclear.
My Little Pony. Oh, well, IDW will have Back to the Future in, I think, October. My Little Pony
October
Friendship
of
is Magic.
2015?
Yes.
Is it a release date on the day that Marty shows up in the future?
I don't know if it's the actual release date. You'd have to look and see if that was a Tuesday or a Wednesday. But
what is it, October the 25th?
I don't remember the exact day.
I want to say it's October the 25th.
So many people have tweaked that up and posted it online.
October the 25th is going to be a Sunday. However, the 21st of October and the 28th of October, which I will bet you even money, that's when they drop that book.
Is on the 21st.
Yeah, the 21st, the week that Marty shows up in 2014.
Yeah.
Where is my dehydrated Pizza Hut?
My Little Pony Friendship is Magic number 32. It's not in there, Matthew. And your pizza is also not car? Also not in Transformers number 43 or in Uncle Scrooge number 4.
That
all
might
out
be
next
Uncle
week
Scrooge.
From IDW. Image Comics has 66 rights number 1. Mm-hmm. Dead at 17 trade paperback. Cowl number 11, Egos number 8, Five Ghosts 17, Sidekick number 11, Sons of the Devil number 3.
Sons of the Devil!
And then we have, and again, this isn't a complete list because it's post Comic Con and IDW Publishing hasn't all, Diamond Comic has not all returned from the convention. And so they've only got up to Marvel. And Marvel has looks like a fairly short list next week. Mm. All New Hawkeye number 4.
Mm hmm.
E is for Extinction number 2.
Mm-hmm.
Future Imperfect number 3. That's a SWA book.
SWA!
Kanan number 4. Spider-Man number... let's see. Spider-Man... No Spider-Man. There's a Spider-Man and the X-Men.
There you go.
Spider-Man Big Time and Spider-Woman number 9.
Spider-Woman.
And then you have a Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde number 1 SWA.
I like Spider-Woman's new title.
What was that you were looking for? S.H.I.E.L.D.? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? It's not listed.
Was I looking for? No, the Shield.
From Archie Comics. Those we don't have
Dark
yet.
Circle.
Those we don't have yet because they're not listed in the updated list. So I couldn't tell you if it's there or not. So yeah, so Dark Circle stuff, Archie. I don't know what's going on with that. Of course, there have been a lot of delays lately. Certainly, Secret Wars, I guess, is behind now.
Yeah, there was a delay on one of the issues that led to a delay in some of the limiteds.
Yeah, so number 5 is, I think, coming out in August, they said.
Oh.
And then according to the solicitations that came out on Tuesday over at MajorSpoilers.com, Secret Wars number 8, the final issue of that, will arrive in October, is scheduled to arrive in October.
We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting. I guess we can talk about that more in other shows and in other places, but it just makes me nervous when you've got somebody that stumbles on deadlines, and then that pushes your entire event off.
Pushes your entire universe back. I think, though, the delays are actually revived universe related. I haven't heard anything other than just rumorness, but I think that the delays are because they were trying to get something squared away in that main title that's going to affect the entire relaunch vamp-booted Marvel universe. Mm. But could be me.
Yeah. All right. So that is what's coming up next week. Looks like we're going to be trying to take a hold of Fables. Next week's podcast will be out, I think, on Thursday next week.
I believe so.
Because of Critical Hit recordings that we do on Wednesday night.
Critical Hiticles. But it'll be worth it. It'll give us an extra day to write, to read.
Oh, man. I'm going to be so busy on what is next week? The 22nd? I got a doctor's appointment in the afternoon. Blech.
Oh, man.
I got to check and see if they have to take blood this time.
Why you got to be so old?
Yeah, it's not old. It's just, what is it? Your pituitary, not the pituitary. What's the one? The thyroid doesn't work.
Your endocrinologist. Come and look at your thyroid.
No,
you know, my wife doesn't have a thyroid at all. So
yeah,
it's
my doctor just looks at my numbers and is like, okay, well, everything going all right. You've been exercising? I'm like, yeah, I've been exercising.
Did they put you on Synthroid?
I'm on some medication. Some
levothyroxine.
That's what it is. Levothyroxine.
Yeah, levothyroxine is generally.
It's the old lady. Awesome. It's the old lady drug.
It's not the old lady.
That's
drug.
What
it is.
Every single one of my doctors, when they're like, well, we're going to up your prescription on this. Don't worry about it. Little old ladies take it in the morning for their thyroid.
Right. My wife has been taking it since she was 36 years old, and she was never old and not all that much of a lady. But the thing about it is, it just basically regulates your thyroid. Yeah, your thyroid is hypothyroidic.
Yep. I'm just glad it's not hyperthyroidic. Although, actually, I probably wouldn't mind if it was hyperthyroidic, because then I probably would.
You'd lose weight, but you'd be miserable, and you'd be overheated. And
well, let's see. I'm overweight, I'm overheated, and I'm miserable right now. So
yes, but you'd be miserable in a completely different way.
I would be miserable and thin.
As someone who deals with your mood swings and rage, you don't want hyperthyroiding, because that will turn you into a carnival ride. Ride the mood swing.
That would be probably preferable. I don't know.
You do not want that. Trust me.
No, I don't want any. I don't want any kind of bad things. And I'm just still trying to deal with this thing, because it's like, here's the bad thing. I have been exercising except for this last week. Because of the Comic-Con.
Right. Where you've been basically locked on a computer all day.
But since April, I have been exercising my butt off nonstop.
Nice.
And I have lost zero weight. And I have cut my calorie intake in half.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, every day, it's like I fluctuate 2 or 3 pounds either way. But it's like, God dang it. Stupid
your metabolism,
thyroid.
Your metabolism.
I just punch myself in the neck, and then an hour later, I wake up.
No, damn it.
Stupid thyroid, pal.
Okay, take it from me. I'm an amateur endocrinologist. I have a child with
wife's a nurse.
A wife with no thyroid and a best friend who has PCOS. Do not screw with your thyroid. Okay?
Oh, hey, programming note.
Yes.
The week of July 29th, we will not have Dueling Review, because we will all be in Salt Lake City at the Snowbird Resort attending Nerdtacular 2015. We would love it if you we could be there if you've already purchased your tickets. I'm pretty sure they're sold out, but you can go to nerdtacular.com, check that out. We will have a panel on Saturday, August 1st that will be streamed live, so you'll want to check that out, and we'll be talking major spoiler stuff, critical hit stuff. We will be giving away prizes. We'll be giving away Loot Letter from Steve Jackson Games. It's a really fun, or not at Steve Jackson Games, but it's a Steve Jackson Games AEG thing. It's a fun little game. We'll be giving away a bunch of those if you can answer some major spoilers trivia. So you will want to point your way west, I guess, if you're leaving on the east.
Major spoilers trivia.
We'll be doing that on
major
August
spoilers
1st.
Trivia. Does this count, Steven? Skate Man's young sidekick.
Nope. Doesn't count.
Was named.
Nope. Sorry.
Oh. Skate Man's catchphrase.
No.
Oh, damn.
No Skate Man trivia.
Skate Man is the heart and soul of Major Spoilers.
No.
Skate Man and Major Spoilers go hand in hand.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
They never have.
Go search Major Spoilers Skate Man and see what comes up.
Yes, I'm sure there is an article or two. go search a Major Spoilers Batman and then compare that.
Heck, oh,
go do go
you
search
play for real.
Go search Major Spoilers and Prez, and you're going to find more information about Prez than you will Skate Man.
Well, I think I have, in fact, reviewed every extant issue of Prez.
See?
No, wait. There are still issues of Prez that I haven't reviewed, but I'm going to.
There you
I'll
go.
I'll get there, children.
All right. We better get out of here. Thank you, everybody, for being a fan of what we do here. And thank you so much for sharing this podcast with a friend. If you are a VIP, special thank you goes out to you. Your small contribution allows us to do things like this week after week, and we enjoy doing it. If you're not a VIP, you're not a VIP... Our plea is that you become a VIP in this next year. Small, I mean, $2 a month, $5 a month gets you, so much content each month. If you thought this show was worth, heck, all the shows that we do, divided by a month, divided by $5, it's like a 10 cents an episode. If
Our
this
plea
episode
is
was
that you not flee and become a VIP.
Yes, over at members.majorspoilers.com. And until next time, keep reading comics, because we will too.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.